Open your Bible, please, to Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? There is no invitation in the opening of this seal to John to come and see. In the opening of the first four seals, the four living creatures have said, Come and see. Come, draw near, understand, perceive, see what's going to come to pass. But in verse 9, with the opening of the fifth seal, no such invitation is extended, nor is none needed, because John saw and understood what he was seeing. Under the altar, that is, down front, not smashed under. I think sometimes we have strange imaginations, strange vision that comes to us from time to time as we try to imagine things. And sometimes our imagination doesn't keep in stride with what the Scripture says. I saw under the altar, that is, down front, standing below the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. In our society today, it seems almost unimaginable that someone would be called upon to die for their religious convictions, to die for Christ. It's one thing to sit with a saccharine smile and such dulcet tones and just look at one another and say, My, isn't it wonderful that we can just love one another? Let's love everyone. And it's an entirely different thing to find that same kind of mouthing of platitudes in the mouth of one who is being pounded to a pulp as he's being beaten to death. My friend, do you realize that's going on in the world today? Oh, not much said about it in the news media. I mean, after all, that wouldn't be a politically correct thing to point out, that some of the major religions of the world, the adherents of them, are persecuting and massacring Christians. Once in a while it pops up, but it's always as a little byline, as churches in Pakistan are bombed, as congregations in Afghanistan are machine-gunned, as believers are run out of their villages and stoned, as missionaries, and this happened, as missionaries are trapped in their jeep, and while the thing is, while they are in there, the thing set on fire, and a father and his sons burn to death while the crowd and the mob cheers the whole thing. My friend, we're living in a period of time that beggars the imagination. You would think that this kind of savagery and barbarity would be long gone from such a world transformed with brotherly love. And I hope you understand I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek. Brotherly love. My friend, search high and low where you will, but you will not find it. Not in this world today, except between Christians. Nowhere else. It's not extended to Christians. And my friend, I find very few Christians who are extending the love of Christ to anyone else. It's a pity, but it is true. In third world countries, Christians are being persecuted while we sit fat, sassy, and complacent in our air-conditioned buildings on our padded pews and listen to well-rounded tones from those who are concerned about being seeker-sensitive. I'd like to take some of these boys and run them out into the killing fields where Christians have been butchered. And we'll see how well their religion holds up. No, here are these in verse 9 who were slain for the word of God. What do you mean? They believed the Bible and for the testimony which they held. My friend, this is not cheap religion. This is not cheap talk. This is the real McCoy, and this is how the world responds to it. They cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, in the Greek, until when, Master, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Interesting. They do not say, oh, why don't you bring vengeance on those who killed us, but rather on them that dwell on the earth. Do you wonder why he doesn't, these do not specify their particular tormentors, their specific persecutors? Well, I believe you will find that everyone on the earth is basically the same opinion. If they're going to believe this outdated religion, they've got no business in the real world. And if you think I'm exaggerating, you're not paying attention to the things that are showing up in print by so-called religious leaders who talk about the gender morality of the Old Testament and the New Testament being alien to the moral values of our culture today. Well, indeed, my friend, it is true. They are alien because we have regressed and we have hit the skids and the culture is coarsening. Moral depravity is increasing. We are not far from being the kind of a humanity that is spoken of here as being worthy of the judgment and vengeance of God. White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. You may look at this and say, that's awfully cold-blooded. There are going to be more people killed? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This period of time designated as the Great Tribulation is going to be of such a nature that blood will flow in such quantity and such volume as to beggar the imagination, for it has never been so since the foundation of the world. There are people who are going to be killed for the testimony of Christ during the tribulation period. But now wait. You say, well, I thought you were saying earlier that the church was going to be gone. Indeed it will. But we will find when we get into chapter 7 that there is something very unusual that takes place. There is a great multitude which no man can number who confess Christ during this period of time in the absence of the church. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you have to hang around and catch that broadcast, won't you? Anyway, in verse 12, I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Ooh, wait a minute, it goes on. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now let's back up. There's a great earthquake. The sun becomes black like sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. Now notice, please, in both instances, both the sun and the moon, they become as black as. Notice there's a contrast and a comparison. It doesn't say that the sun goes out, nor does it say the moon becomes blood, or that there's blood on the moon. Became as blood. Became black as sackcloth of hair. What are we talking about? Well, go back. You'll note here it says there's a great earthquake. Anytime there is a great earthquake, depending on the magnitude of it, the more debris that's shot up into the atmosphere. If there should be a great earthquake, as they are predicting out on the West Coast, if that happens, not only will the earth move and there will be tremendous damage to structures and loss of life, But keep in mind, you have gas lines out there. You also have transmission lines that if the earthquake is of a great enough violence, these gas mains will be ruptured and there will be fires. Depending on the time of the year, there could be tremendous fires. If it's dry, when you have the transmission lines breaking and falling, people die, being electrocuted, as well as more fires being set. Now, I mention fire because as the smoke goes up, if you have ever been in an area that's been affected by forest fires, you will note that as the smoke goes into the atmosphere, it is not dissipated, depending on the weather conditions, but rather it blocks out the sun, and the sky goes to a kind of a yellowish, brownish, and then depending on the density of the smoke, it can go gray. Now, because of all this ejecta, because of all of this debris and pollution going up into the atmosphere, we have the sun being darkened. And if you've ever noticed in the fall of the year, when the moon first comes up, especially full moon, when it first comes over the horizon, it seems like it's orange, or sometimes blood red does seem to be there. Why? Because of the dust in the air. And as you look at the moon from a low angle as it comes just over the horizon, you're looking through the atmosphere of the Earth at a lower altitude. As it rises overhead, you'll notice that the color changes. It goes from being red to kind of an orange to a yellow, and then it goes to that blue-white when it's directly overhead. All right, we're talking about essentially the same thing. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Now, we're not speaking here about actual stars. Stars, obviously, are much larger than the Earth. However, if you take it within the context of the times, we're talking about a meteor shower. Now, I want you to consider something. We've got a tremendous earthquake. It doesn't say what sets it off. Well, it's going to be, okay, but keep this in mind, keep an open mind here. The stars of heaven fell, the meteors fall to the earth. There are meteor strikes, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. They come fast, and they fall hard. And the heaven departed as a scroll. Now the word heaven here, we're speaking about atmosphere. Keep in mind that there are several layers of our atmosphere. You've got the ionosphere, the stratosphere, troposphere. You have several different of these layers in the atmosphere. The heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. There is a tremendous tectonic event going on here. What brings it on? I suspect, and this is a guess, please take it in that frame of mind, I suspect we've been hit by a large meteor, perhaps an asteroid. It's attended by other meteors, and they strike the Earth. Now we have impact. We have tremendous impact. A near miss by a large body. Science fiction has written a good number of stories about near misses where an asteroid or a comet passing by rips off part of the atmosphere. I look at the time and I'm about done for today. I hope you will continue reading here. I want you to get a feel for what's going on, because this is a terrible time, something you need to be aware of. It's what the Bible says.